I'll Leave You With This with Dustin Chafin.
Thank you for listening. I'll Leave You With This. Please subscribe to our Patreon page. You can hear all kinds of extras with TJ Miller on the road and Hell Gig stories and behind the scenes of a comedy club in Manhattan. So please support that. I could really use your support. So if you like this podcast, please sign up for Patreon page. It's only like $2 and you can really kind of get some extra stuff that I want to try to add. It's even getting better and better each week. So please support us and I'll give back. I promise. It's funny that you just said that about hype. Well, this week I feel like with all the stuff, you know, happening in comedy with, what's her name? Hashim? What's her first name?
Dina Rashim.
All that stuff. It's like, you know, it's so funny how comedy, like comedians just start to just like, it's just like they're swarming over all this stuff. You know what I mean? Like all this, you know, whenever there's just some sort of controversy with a comedian. Did you get wrapped up in it at all?
I didn't. I mean, like, well, first, I mean, I take, like, I've been saying this forever, that if you get an, you know, if you're someone who's easily offended, then just don't go to a comedy show or unfollow. You know, I've been saying this.
Yeah.
I didn't start getting upset about this because of her. You know, I've been, like, saying this forever. But I was really busy this weekend. So, like, I was like, I will fight this battle on what's today or whatever today
is. We're talking about
it now. Yeah. And actually, today I tweeted something about it, which is, like, so much later than everyone else. But I figured everyone else.
3 days later.
Everyone had it during the weekend. You know, I was busy.
Yeah, that's good. It's good to be busy.
And now no one was tweeting about it, so I tweeted about it. That's good.
No, I like that. You just like let that fire burn out.
And yeah, and when just, like, that's how I feel like with politics too. Like everyone gets really mad when something's happening. I'm like, all right, you take this fight, and when you get bored of it in a week, then I'll say something.
let everybody leave the room, and then you'll talk about it.
You guys do a lot of heavy lifting.
That's interesting.
No,
I like
but what happens is people get burned out so fast. And so I'm not contributing at all if everyone's saying it on social media. It's like a week or two later when no one's talking about it anymore that I'm like, hey, remember we were really pissed about that thing?
Yeah.
You know?
I'm just amazed how people get so mean.
I can't.
Because you're such a sweet
it.
Person, and it's like, you know, I try to surround myself with sweet people, and it's like, I just, how are these people so mean?
I don't know.
I mean, they're just so mean.
I don't know.
About disagreeing with things and like not letting people make a mistake and not let, you know, it's like people fuck up. Like we all mess up. We say the wrong thing. I delete like a comment and a thing every day. Like I'll start today. I did like two, and I was like, I gotta delete that. Like I just do that. Sometimes I'll do stuff, and then sometimes I'll be inappropriate or whatever. And it's like I'm a human being.
Yeah, we all make mistakes. And now with social media, it's just when you make a mistake,
oh
it's out there.
It's forever.
And people are just not forgiving. People just take it. And I do think there are some situations when someone says something really racist and you get on tape. Like, good. I'm glad they get fired. Like, I think there's levels. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, you see.
But even that, it's like I don't think Liam Neeson is racist, even though he said that thing he said about, like, when his friend got attacked by the black person. You know, he said he wanted. You didn't hear that?
No.
Yeah, he said something like, he said he wanted to say the N-word. That's what he said.
Okay.
And then, but then they made it this whole thing. And, like, I think he was just, like, he was responding to his friend.
Right.
And he's also, you know, it's, like,
I think
European.
I think there's, like, levels. Like, sometimes, like, I remember seeing this video where there's this white lady, and she was calling the cops on these two black women who weren't doing anything. Like, she was blatantly lying.
Yeah,
and it was on.
Well, they didn't have permit for a barbecue.
Oh,
That was what she said.
Yeah, okay. So, like when it's, like, that crazy, I'm kind of glad it goes viral. Do you know what I mean?
Interesting.
Like, I think there's levels, but I guess who decides the level? Because something that I think is a big deal, you actually may not, and vice versa, you know?
Sure.
So I don't know what the there's no solution. I just think it's going to go.
Well, with stand-up, it's like, you know, it's like people still don't get it that we're doing jokes.
Right.
They still don't understand. How long has this craft been going on, you know, 80 years, whatever? People still don't understand that our job is to kind of try to make light of something that may be tragic or dark.
Right.
But it's like, that's the purpose.
And that's why I went into it. Because I was like, I just love taking people that are sad or angry and making jokes and laughing. Like, you know, I love, like, when I'm backstage, you know, I'm so happy.
You're hilarious.
There's nowhere I'm happier than in a comedy club or like at a play or anything where I'm performing.
Sure. Because
I really love it. And I don't understand why people don't understand that this is a place for laughter, not to get upset. Nothing we're saying is like as substance of, you know.
Yeah, I'm always amazed by it. You know, people can't just figure it out that we're kidding and playing around.
Yeah, I can only imagine what, because you do so much all over the board of things that, for someone who wants to be offended, can find something to be offended.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, I'm now doing abortion jokes. Like and I'm okay with, like, I'm pretty good at kind of, well, on stage it's a little different, I think, far as, like, when your audience is in front of you, I think it's a little easier to kind of, like, sway them into kind of, like, this idea of, like, that we are trying to have alternate ideas about things. And when I am playing, I'm being playful.
Right.
You know, I might be rub my nipple, or I'm being silly, or, right, you know, there's a tone in my voice that, you know, I'm being, you know, fun and playful. And it's like, but I think it's like, you know, that's when you can control it more.
Right.
But, like, with a tweet or something, or even, like, a video or something, it's a harder sometimes. When people, like, digest it, they can just automatically just, like, choose to be offended, as opposed to kind of, like, you know, seeing it live and understanding
right.
it as
well,
it's happening.
I do all of this live streaming. So, and then those videos live forever because people are copying it and saving clips.
Sure,
and
sure.
Then I'm just like, oh, God, I made that once. I was live. I've been live for thousands and thousands of hours over the last few years. And they take one line that I said and it's, you know, blown out of proportion, you know.
So did you have something like that?
Well, I have a character whose name is HPV. And well, her name is Hope Paula Vag, but her initials are HPV. And so, you know, there's a lot of HPV jokes that come along with that, you know. And let me tell you, some people don't find that funny. So every once in a while, I'll get, do you know that that causes cancer?
Oh,
I'm like, I'm not, first of all, when have I ever made fun of cancer? I mean, maybe I did, but
yeah,
the girl's name. It's comedy. It's funny. It makes people laugh. It's funny to say, "Oh, I love HPV," or you know,
that's hilarious.
HPV's so cute. Like those things are funny when people write that in, you know. So, but that's the one that I get a lot of people not that happy with.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, you do different. You do different, like. Like races and stuff too, or different?
Yeah,
okay.
Oh yeah, and no one likes my. I have a Hispanic character. Her name's Maria. First of all, I suck at accents, and I do all these characters with different accents.
It's great.
So it's all like stereotypes. Awful. Yeah. So again, if you're looking to be offended, you're going to be offended by these characters. You know.
Yeah. No, it's funny though how people just get so weird about everything. Like you can't even, you know. And that's the thing is like. I know you pretty well just by just being around you. I'm getting to know you more and more, but I feel like it's like, you know, it's like, yeah, you don't have a mean bone in your body. Like, I can tell people that are a little like, I kind of keep my distance. You're not one of those people.
Right.
Like, you know, you're the kind of person that it's like, yeah, like I would ask you to help me move. You know, like that's the kind of person you are.
I wouldn't, but I would pay someone to help you.
I just make you feel guilty for all the stage time. Like, come on!
I'm like, doesn't I can, but I'm going to pay for the best person on Craigslist to come and help you.
And they murder us because it was Craigslist.
Right. But,
well, the videos, that's what I, you know, you're a go-getter like that. I think that's very interesting, like, because I feel like, you know, I'm sitting here doing the podcast and like we're all hustling in comedy. I run a club, whatever.
Yeah.
Like we all find, you know, I was talking to Regina about the warm up. Like there's just so many different venues or avenues to take in comedy where you can just like, you know, try to make money and try to like get your exposure out there.
Right.
And like you really, because everybody says the thing that you're doing, but they don't really do it. Like everybody says, oh, I need to do videos or I need to do characters online and do a stream thing.
Yeah,
and
but you actually have to.
Yeah,
do
you
that.
Really did it. And you do it all the time. And
I all think the
you,
time.
You have a good fan base from it.
Right.
And it's like,
well, I mean, like you just said, like you have to hustle in this business. Nothing's given to you. And if it is given to you, it gets taken away fast. Like that's what I've seen over the years. Anyone who gets anything just because they show, you know, they're young or they're good looking or whatever, it doesn't last.
No,
so
it doesn't.
You almost don't want it given to you. You want to work for it because everyone who I see works for it.
Yeah.
It's been in it for a long time, you know, and that's...
Is Periscope still on?
Well, I mean, there is still a Periscope, but it's like, you know...
You don't do that anymore.
No. I go on to tell people, oh, come to Patreon or come over to Instagram. Like, I'll go on to advertise other things,
you know.
But it's a real, like, you know, all... Everyone's just naked and doing drugs, which I'm not against. I just, you know...
I got to get back on Periscope.
As like after this podcast, Periscope like stock rises.
I had no idea that was happening.
But yeah, it's kind of falling apart. But I was like the last to be using that.
Well, that stuff, it stuff comes and goes, right?
Yeah.
Like it was Venmo. I'm not Venmo. Vine.
Vine.
Vine was a big deal for a little
yeah.
while.
Yeah. I mean, then once, I mean, Instagram and Facebook just knock everything out. So yeah. once Instagram started doing little videos, Vine left.
So you,
once
so you,
Instagram and Facebook started doing live, okay. Periscope went down.
I got you.
So then I started, which just sucked because I had such a big following on Periscope.
Did you?
So, I mean, I still go on to try to get people over to Instagram, but it's a slow, but it's coming. It's coming along.
You're starting to get your people over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah. And the dedicated people are the dedicated, you know, they follow yeah, yeah. me wherever I go.
You have
I
your,
go.
Your
yeah.
serious fans.
Yeah, all four of them. But they love me. Two of my parents.
Do you have like weird fans, like fetish fans and stuff? I feel like
you
tap into a lot of fetishes.
Yeah. But you know what? I really do. And let me tell you, I think the reason I know about it is because I don't judge it. Like, I let the weirdos, like, be weird.
Let them be
yeah.
weird.
I mean, they're not allowed to, like, show up at my doorstep.
Sure,
but they
sure.
can write weird stuff in the comments. Yeah. It doesn't affect. Look, if you call me fat and ugly, I'll block you.
Sure.
But if you're like, I have a fetish for, you know, thick thigh Jewish women, I'd be like, why, thank you. You're in the right place. Yeah. So I don't mind fetishes if it's in a compliment.
Sure.
You
absolutely.
Know, if they're like, I want to, you know, chop you up into pieces and put you in a fridge.
Yeah, but it's
I'd probably block them. Probably.
Hilarious.
But yeah, no, there are some people that are a little weird, but so am I. So I feel like I just embrace them. I don't
yeah,
judge
them.
Yeah,
you don't make
them.
People feel, you know, awkward
yeah.
for...
Again, but that's the whole thing with you know, if I'm saying weird, crazy stuff, I don't care what they write in the chat. As long as they don't show up at my doorstep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You don't want that. And you don't want... Yeah, that's all I always tell, like, people, you know, in audiences and things, too, where it's just like, I don't care what you say to me. Just don't, you know, don't, like, talk to each other or don't
right.
be mean. Don't be...
Don't be mean. Don't ruin
yeah.
the show. Like,
yeah.
as long as you're adding and being fun and
yeah.
good, I don't, you know... Like I said, I do this because I enjoy it. If it's going to be a negative thing, then I don't want you a part of it.
Very cool. What's... So, what was, like, the first big, like... big thing for you in comedy, like a defining kind of like big moment that really kind of started to change things for you?
Well, interesting.
Like access or was that?
You know what? It really was the Periscope, to be
Periscope.
Honest. Yeah. So I was doing well, first off, I started as an actress. Like I went
okay.
to college for acting and everything.
Yeah.
And then nothing was happening. Like I was broke and nothing was happening. So I thought stand up, I could make money. It was actually my dad. My dad's an accountant. He was like, how come you don't try stand up? I was like, are you stupid? Like, that's the hardest form.
Yeah.
He's like, try it. And he was right, because right away I was starting to book, like, little, you know,
sure.
much fit. At least with stand-up, as much as you put into it, you'll get out of it to a certain degree.
Yeah.
If you're an actress, you could go years and not book anything,
sure.
even if you put yourself out there.
There's also kind of, like, this mid-level thing in comedy that's not really in acting. You know what I mean? Like road work
right.
and things like that where you can make a couple hundred bucks doing comedy. It's not like a lot of couple hundred bucks acting
no,
stuff.
No,
you know?
Not at all. Either like you're a working actor and you've
yeah.
got commercials
yeah.
and like under five
yeah.
stuff, or there's nothing. There's no
yeah.
I'm getting by as an actor. You know, you're
yeah, maybe like dinner theater or something, but
right.
it's, you know, but even then it's just like, you know,
right.
it's rough. That's a rough life. You know?
Yeah. And so then I was doing comedy for a while and again, I was making... okay. And then my brother was like, oh, there's this app called Periscope, which is a live streaming app. You live stream from your room. And I was like, you're a sicko. Because this is before live, when
yeah.
only thing I knew was like cam girls, where
yeah,
you take
yeah.
off your clothes. And I said to my brother, I was like, this is disgusting. I'm not doing
that. How much does that pay?
Yeah. My brother's like, we can make big bucks around it. Have you met my brother?
Yes.
Yeah, he's great. He's like... my business partner.
I think
partner.
He likes me. Yeah, we have a good time.
Yeah.
Likes my comedy. He says he does.
Oh, he does? No, he
yeah.
does like your
yeah,
comedy.
Yeah,
yeah.
We have a good time.
And he loves Leah, too.
Yeah.
So, he's great. So it was he's the one who told me about it, but I thought he was like a sicko, and I was like, I'm not doing it. And then 6 months later, my college agent was like, hey, there's this app called Periscope. You can live stream. I was like, that's brilliant. And my brother was like, you idiot. I just told you about that. And so I went on, and right away, I got like a pretty big following because of the characters, and it was very easy for me to just talk. A lot of people can't talk by themselves. You know,
sure.
It's not a.
It's easy, tough. Yeah, it's a tough thing.
Yeah, and for some reason, just talking without anyone was, or just reading comments and talking to people as if they were in the room came easy to me, and so that's what started. Because then I started booking things on the road because of it, and started making money, and that's when things started happening.
That's great.
Yeah.
So, like you never know about these things, you know?
People just,
you never know what's going to be the avenue that you take.
Right.
You know, that's going to get you like a fan base. Because it's real, ultimately, that's all it is. It's like, get a fan base. And that's what the concentration should be on. You know
yeah.
I mean? Too many people don't focus on that enough. And it's like as sucky as kind of like this overwhelming kind of internet world that we live in, and how much is out there and how much it's not about complete talent and whatnot, blah,
right.
blah, 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 blah. There is access to things that I never had coming up as a young comic that we have now, that
right.
you can like, you know, zero in and find people that like your comedy.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
My mom's quote, which is so Jewish, you'll see what it is in a second, but she goes, everything
<You're Jewish>.
she goes, everything boils down to dollars and cents.
Mm.
And that's why I was saying it's very Jewish, because then people are like, oh, go on. But it really is true. Like, all right, there's going to be a shitty comic and a brilliant comic.
Okay.
The shitty comic is going to sell out the theater. The brilliant comic doesn't have that many fans. That it's gonna
gotcha.
The comedy club wants to make money. They want to book the shitty comic that's going to put butts in the seats, you
Absolutely.
Know? So not saying you shouldn't focus on your craft, because I think for longevity reasons, you better be good, because those people won't come back.
Sure.
But there's something to getting that fan base, because if you can't put butts in the seats, no one's going to know that you're a great comic.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
No, it's always weird. I'll walk by, you know, Caroline's or something, and it'll be like this week I walk by and it's like Steve-O and Pauly Shore and
right.
some guy with a panda head.
Yeah. Like big YouTube account, panda head.
Squirrel Man, and I'm just like, what? And but then I get it, you know.
Yeah,
it's
they
like
want to sell
Country Wayne and all these kinds of people, and it's like, you know, it's because we get a little jaded in New York, because you know this is like the land of kind of great stand up,
right?
Know? It's like the Dave Attells and the Colin Quinns and the Bill Burrs and the Dave Chappelle's, and like, you know, this is like the breeding grounds for those guys, the best of the best,
right?
And so it's easy to be like, you know, who's this, you know, furry, what's happening, YouTube, what, you know? And so, but at the same time, it's like, you know, you gotta put people in the seats,
yeah. And you know, the clubs, it's a business. Clubs want to make money, just like we want to make money, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like everything. So I get it. And I used to get so upset. Like there was there's a YouTuber, a girl who, not a comic, but is doing comedy tours now because she has a YouTube account, you know? And this is like 2 years ago. I was so jealous that she's like getting booked at all these places. I was like, she's not even a stand-up. She just gets on stage and tells stories, you know? But then I was like, oh, you know what? There's no point of getting mad, because if these theaters booked me, I couldn't sell out the seats. You know, so
exactly.
It's like, I get it, you know, I mean, I still get jealous, you know, I still hate all these people, but I get it and hate them versus not understanding, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Do you go to therapy?
Every week. Well, no, most, I go through like, I call them tune-ups, you know?
Tune-ups.
So I've been with the same therapist since I was 6 years old.
Oh, wow.
That's
a long time. Holy shit.
You think I'd have my shit together by now? Clearly she's not that good. I probably shouldn't still be having panic attacks and need Xanax and all this crap. But I had a bone disease, so I had to wear leg braces starting when I was 6 years old.
Oh, wow.
So my mom put like us all in therapy, because she's like, you know, someone in my family is going to end up being a serial killer, because like shit was so weird. You know, you have a sick kid in the house.
Sure.
It's either my brothers were going to feel neglected, I was going to feel like, you know, I literally looked like Forrest Gump. So, you know, shit was going to go bad if we didn't get help. So, like, I'll go through, like, good periods of life where I'm don't go to therapy. And then I'll be like, oh, I'm hitting a rough time. I should start up again. And then I start up. So it hasn't been, like, 25 years consecutively with her.
Yeah.
But, you know, say 5 years here, 2 years there, you know. Currently in therapy, long story short. You go to therapy, right?
I do. And that's kind of how I feel about, like, AA sometimes, where I just, like, I just won't go to meetings and stuff. But then once in a while, I'll be like, oh, I should probably just drop in and just get a little bit, absorb a little
bit.
And then take off and kind of, like, you know, get back on track again. I go to therapy once a week. I just got back today. I had therapy. He's out for August, which is always like, August.
Right. But, my therapist has gone in August, too. I wonder if that's a therapy thing.
I think it is. They need a break from us crazies for at least a month.
So for the first time ever last week, I did psychotherapy.
Ooh, what's that?
That's when you lay down, take off your pants. No, I'm kidding.
You have that number? All right. I've been in a relationship a long time. I need extra touching. All right, go ahead.
No, you, like, lay down and close your eyes, and she, like, asks questions about
things.
See,
that seems so much fun. Like, I would love that.
Because at first she was like, do you want to try psych? Because I was like, I'm having crazy panic attacks, da-da-da. And she was like, do you want to try psychotherapy? And then I was like, well, what is that? She's like, well, you'll lay down. And then I was like, in. Like, as long as I could lay down, I could do anything.
Exactly.
You know, so, and we did it. Within, like, 2 minutes, I was crying. And I'm not a crier, even in therapy. I'm just, I talk a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm not, like, my eyes aren't big at the tear. You know, it's just not, I'm not, like, programmed that, like that. So, but I was, like, crying. We're talking about, like, things from past, you know.
Oh, wow.
So all this stuff came up. But then as soon as it was done, I was having back pains. My back stopped hurting.
Wow.
So there is something to psychotherapy.
Absolutely. Well, yeah.
Although that night, I bombed on stage. Like, bombed.
Really?
So there is something about being crazy that we need, I think, on stage.
Interesting.
Yeah. What do you think? Do you think we need a little crazy?
I think we can get, I don't know, I think you can get in the right headset and pull off comedy. I think it depends on the comedian. For me, to me, it's just about, you know, I have to have a mindset, but it has to be like you're somebody that has, like, I was just talking to Regina about it, like a natural energy.
Uh-huh.
Like my biggest struggle in comedy is just not being a bitch. Like, I can get real bitchy up there. If then that has a lot to do with, like, just not napping.
Right,
it's like a physical
thing.
No,
I know what you're
saying. It could just be I can eat a candy bar and I'm fine or whatever.
Right.
Like, it's little things. Like, it doesn't have
to
be this huge thing.
But that could change the whole set.
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
Dude, I've had sets that are just meltdowns because I didn't have a nap.
Yeah.
You know? And it was just, and that's it. That's all it was. And, like, every other show, I had a nap and it was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And then this one show, I said, I don't need a nap. I'm going to go to the thing with this guy and have fun. And then it was just like, whatever. But I think with crazy, I know what you're saying with the kind of, like, tapping into this, like, you know, horrible thing that makes us artists, I guess, whether it be pain as children or relationship problems or whatever, not enough hugs or, you know, I mean, I don't think we all have to have that, you know, like I see a lot of artists that are probably, like, you know, raised okay.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I like to think I had a great family and childhood.
Yeah, your family seems great. They're still showing up.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You don't even know how many times, like, because during tax season, my dad's in Canada. Yeah. During tax seasons, my parents live in the city. My mom wants to go to every single Greenwich Village comedy show.
She's great.
I'm like, Mom, this is embarrassing. You can't come. Like, the fact that I have to tell.
It's fun because your family, they're great audience
members. And
they laugh
don't
loud.
Care.
They're great.
Well, they're really, you know, I mean, I get it from them. They're just like, they want to have fun. They want to be happy. Like,
they
choose every day to be happy. Where I think, you know, a lot of people, like we were saying in the beginning of this, where they look to be offended.
Yeah,
my family really is the opposite. No matter how, like, when my uncle passed away last year, and we decided instead of having a funeral, we'll have a talent show.
Mm.
Like, you know, and like, because he was an actor, and we're like, no, you know, he wouldn't want a funeral. We should all, like, go up and, like, I'll do comedy. My aunt play the piano. My other cousin sang. My brother, like, put together video montages, and we like it's just how my family, we look for the opposite of being offended. It's more of like, well, how can we make this happy?
Oh, that's great.
You know,
that's a great thing. I mean, back to kind of what you were saying about the do you need the crazy? I mean, I don't think we'll ever have a Richard Pryor again, because I don't think there'll ever be a person that was brought up in a brothel.
Right.
You know, or lights himself on fire or, you know.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, maybe, but it's not likely. Yeah.
So, I mean, so demons like that might generate, you know, that kind of talent. Just
right.
Because you're just digging all these dark places to kind of like find the light until, you know, here, you know, Richard Pryor or something like that exists because of the pain.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know. And maybe, like, I don't know. Maybe the more the tragedy, the more kind of in depth the artist is, maybe there's more depth behind it, you know? I don't know.
I don't know. Because I think about that all the time because I don't think I'm that. Like, I'm not.
You should
damaged.
Try it, though. Get a cocaine problem for a year and come back and let's see, you know, see what happens.
I can't because, do you know why I can't do cocaine? Because in college, I would do cocaine and everyone would be like, I can't eat. And I'd be like, no, I'm going to go eat. So I was like the only person who did cocaine and would binge eat. And I was like, I'm going to get fat. And I was like, if you're
really?
Gonna, yeah.
That's hilarious.
I mean, like, when I say I did cocaine, I did it like six times.
Yeah.
But like all six times, I was starving.
So
where most people
funny.
Get skinny off of cocaine.
Yeah, well, it suppresses the appetite.
Not me. So I was like, I'm not going to be a fat cocaine head. And so I was like, this is not worth it.
Yeah, that's the upside. The
yeah,
coke.
Yeah. It's like, I'm not like, you know. The same thing that's with so weed. Funny. Like, I do smoke weed back in college.
Weed makes you hungry.
Yeah.
All hungry, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, well, I'm only just going to get – I can't because I can't control my eating. And I definitely have a sugar addiction. Remember one time I sent you a message? I was like, I'm not – like in the email.
You couldn't
do a splicing. I was like snappy or something.
Yeah.
And then I was like, sorry, I'm day two off sugar. You're like, Robin, I actually get it.
Oh, I get it. I'm always like dipping in and out.
Yeah, every time I give up sugar, the first week I'm just a raging bitch. And like I can't even –
Yeah.
People don't understand. When I say I have a sugar addiction, people laugh. Unless you actually understand that sugar really is a drug that you get addicted to.
What's your favorite sugary substance?
Donuts.
Donuts.
Like, hands down. It's
really?
Not, I'm, like, so confident.
Do they need to be hot?
Oh, no. It literally be in the trash, and so, like, a homeless person could pee on it, and I'll be like, this is so good.
I like those little packaged powder donuts. I could eat like 10 of those.
Oh, really?
Those
are good.
Sleeves at a time.
I mean, I'm a big Dunkin' Donuts fan. I love sprinkles with chocolate.
What about Krispy Kreme? You ever had those?
Great. Oh, delicious.
The hot ones, you have them hot though?
Yeah.
That's another level. Yeah. You see them like coming out on the little conveyor belt.
You know what's so good? A hot donut with vanilla ice cream and then sprinkles on top.
Wow. That's better than cocaine.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah. And then you don't mind getting fat because you know what you're doing. And you do cocaine and then get fat. You're like, fuck you. That's not how this is supposed to work.
That's not how science works.
Yeah.
Like, this makes sense.
Yeah. No, I love sugar.
I do too. I love sugar. And sugar's another thing because I gave up everything. I gave up Coke. I gave up whiskey. I gave up all the drugs.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's all I have left is caffeine and sugar. And, you know, it's like, you know, and after a bad set when I bomb or something,
right?
Sugar takes me back where I need to be.
Same.
It's just like, I just need it. I don't have to go crazy. I'm not binging like a maniac.
Yeah.
Just a little hot fudge sundae, just a little something, a little cookie.
See, I can't do the little. What happens is if I have medium.
I'll do a medium.
He's like, okay, it's
you
a lot.
You can do medium. You can do medium.
Once I have one thing of sugar,
then
I don't
stop.
I have to eat until I'm like in a coma. So it's not pretty, you know? So that's why I just try to stay away now.
Just stay away from it at all. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, right now I'm off the wagon. So, but like for about 6 weeks, I was completely like no. When I say no sugar, I mean like cookies, cakes, candies. I could eat like things that break down into sugar.
Okay.
Because I think it's like the actual act of eating it that I love. Does that make sense? Or no.
Yeah. No. 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 Yeah. I know a lot of people like that, where it's like Leah likes the crispiness of things. Like some people like that stuff.
Yeah.
I love eating Rice Krispie treats because I love the pulling of it.
Yes.
I love pulling the goo. The goo is
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I tear it to pieces.
Yeah.
Like, I just love that. The texture of it.
Yeah. I even like the ritual of like leaving my apartment, walking to Dunkin' Donuts, ordering the donut, the whole thing I love doing.
Well, that's what I miss about tobacco was what I enjoy the most was I used to smoke cigarettes and I enjoyed getting the American Spirits. I enjoyed packing them.
Uh-huh.
That was like a big deal.
Yeah.
I always had a Zippo, the clink, and the smell of a Zippo
right.
lighter. and then just the cool guys, you know, lighting of it and like the image of it and everything. And then when I used to dip, you know, in the lip or whatever, that was the whole nother thing. Pack it and just like get a little bottle and like it's funny how things like
it comes like
rituals.
The it's not just the act of it going into your brain and chemicals. It's all of the even my boyfriend. He like when he's stressed at work, he'll smoke a cigarette, but he's not. He doesn't. Otherwise, he doesn't want to smoke. But he's like, I like the taking it to my mouth and breathing it. It's not even he's not addicted because he doesn't smoke all day every day.
Oh, okay.
It's just that when he's stressed, he likes that motion.
Sure.
And so it's all, you know.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you can just have like a, you know, pencil in your hand. And
right.
There's ways of getting by that. You know, like when I gave up dip, I just had like, there was this fake dip that I bought.
Uh-huh.
It was just like, just because the idea of just putting it in my mouth helped a lot. And it was just like tea or something. I don't know what I was putting in there, but it was like some organic thing.
Right. That's not
that
as
wasn't,
bad.
Well, just wasn't tobacco.
I always think of my college roommate was freshman, sophomore year. She was so beautiful and she would dip. And I remember she'd sit in our dorm room like spitting into a. I remember being like, so, like, I was like, you are so beautiful and you're spitting this gross brown stuff into a warm up. I want to vomit so bad. So anytime anyone talks about dip or see dip, I always just imagine her just like sitting on her dorm bed just spitting into a water bottle.
Well, Leah used to dip. And,
oh, really?
Yeah, so it's not when I met her, but, like, she, you know, it's funny. She did, like, a one-person show, and she talked about the man she was looking for, dipped and all this stuff, and then I came in, and I was the dipping guy, and it was really funny.
Match made in heaven.
Match made in heaven. So I'm excited to have you on today, and it's like you've done some cool stuff. I've known you a little while now.
Yeah,
it's,
no, we've not. I was thinking about
10 years
that.
Maybe, almost.
Well, I started comedy 9 years ago, and I met you.
Okay,
right when I
ago.
Began. Like,
oh, okay, yeah.
I was like
yeah.
6 months in when I first
met.
Yeah,
because Greenwich is about almost 7 years old.
Yeah.
So, wow.
And
so, you were just
like
a couple years in.
We shows at Caroline's, like we, had,
yes.
we did. And then.
Random shows. Yeah. Linda Smith shows, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you take her class?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's how
oh,
I started.
Oh,
yeah.
nice. Yeah. She was great. She's good at, I think she's really good at teaching. And stuff.
Yeah. When people always ask about classes, I say, yeah, you know. Because some people will not know, like, if classes. I'm like, if you've never taken, it helps. Like,
sure.
I had no clue about stand-up. I didn't know anything, you know?
Yeah.
So it was, like, the perfect way to intro is taking a class. I mean, what do you think?
I was just talking to Regina. I took a bunch of classes. What I do, I feel, is more beneficial to people, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because you get more attention, bro, one-on-one kind of thing.
Oh, when I say class, one-on-one also. I mean like
No. I just think classes are different. I feel classes is like a good way to get to know people.
Uh-huh.
Because that's what's like, I mean, that's so important in comedy.
Right.
Just the people you meet.
Yeah.
You know, like to me, that's what, you know, that's what you should be doing all the time. Meeting people. Because those people are going to get you stage time.
100%.
And, you know, all that stuff. But far as this, like, the attention to detail, I feel I enjoy just a one-on-one kind of experience.
And, like you just said,
I've never taught a class. You
know? Just said you get more one-on-one. Because if you have someone helping you with your jokes and not a whole group of people, you'll definitely get more out of that.
I think so. Yeah. I think that's kind of the way to go. And I'm just trying to hawk my class on my one-on-ones so people sign up and don't sign up for a class.
Let me just say this. If you're going to do a one-on-one, you should do it with someone who books a comedy club, right?
Maybe.
Think about if Joe Schmo, who isn't a comic, doesn't run a club. Like, you know all different aspects of comedy.
Sure.
Versus
sure.
someone, if you're going to take, you want
to. Yeah, but I don't want them to just. I'm not going to book you just because you take my class.
Right.
I mean, I'll tell you that right now.
Right.
Like, you got to be funny.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't matter because I'm going to give you what I know as a comedian.
And then,
but I will give you aspects of what people look for.
Yeah. Well, when I say that, I don't mean that you'll book them. I mean, you know what bookers want.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, I've passed all the clubs. There's not one person teaching comedy in Manhattan that's passed every single club, including the Cellar.
Yeah.
So it's like that to me, that's what I hawk first.
Yeah.
Is that I passed all the clubs.
Exactly. Because I feel like they're not just getting a comic helping them with their jokes.
Sure,
also from the business aspect.
Sure, absolutely.
Where I don't know many people that can offer both.
Yeah. I feel like it's very kind of, you know, very well-rounded with the comedy world.
Right.
I've done everything. So everybody, Robin Shaw in the building. Yay!
No, sit down. Sit down enough.
So you recorded your album.
Yes.
You finally got the album out. That's great. Well, yeah. It's recorded.
It just recorded. It'll be out in a couple months.
Okay.
Called and Guilty Pleasure.
Guilty Pleasure. Very cool.
You know, because all I talk about are my guilty pleasures on stage, whether food, men, all that stuff. And then I hope I'll be your
guilty pleasure. Self-produce it?
No, 800-pound gorilla.
Oh, that's great. Very cool.
Did it, which is like, I was so excited about someone else doing all the heavy lifting of the distribution and like promotion, all of that.
Very cool.
But also, I've been doing this for 9 years, and I'm kind of like, I'm done with this. Like, it took me 9 years to really get this hour, the hour I want, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I was like, all right, this was a great chapter. I want to put it out, and then I'm ready to start the next, whatever is next. I don't know.
You're going to quit?
Cam girl. Back to Periscope.
See you later. Bye. Going to San Diego.
Yeah, right. now it's time to like do something else. No, I mean, like, I still want to be a comic, but I talked all I could about boys and my weight and that stuff. And I'm like, all right, I'm ready for the next. I don't know what it is I'm going to talk about. But I was like, I'm really proud of this stuff.
Great.
And I was ready.
You're excited.
Yeah.
That you're doing it and that you did it. And it's like you're getting it out there. And it's like, it's like it'll open up new doors for you.
Yeah. And also, I did two shows, you know, case like one show bombed or something.
Sure.
But the audience was so filled with like friends from high school and college and all these people I loved who've like throughout the 9 years have come to little things.
So
it was almost like a celebration. I was on such a high all weekend because it wasn't just like this album. It was like we were all like celebrating that for 9 years I've, you know, fucking, I don't know if I can curse, but I've been like really like just put my heart and soul into this tough business.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
You almost want to well up when you think about
it. Yeah. And then I'd look out and I would see like a kid I went to camp with when I was 13 showed up. You know, my acting teacher from high school showed up. All these people, and I was like, I was on such a high that all these people came to like celebrate this, you know. So
see, that's one thing that's cool about like doing comedy, like when it's kind of near like where you grew up, kind of. That's a beautiful thing.
Definitely.
You can just get people to come out a little bit, maybe support and stuff.
Yeah, and people haven't come out in a while because when you do this for every night, people give up on you. But they all came out.
Well, my album recording, I didn't have anybody. The first show was like 9 people. I was like, oh, it was the worst. And then it was like, but there were a lot of comedians that showed up. And so I feel like I mean, sure they all wanted spots, but still. And so there was a lot of comedians that were kind of like in the back and stuff. And they laughed and seemed like they supported me.
Yeah.
And but I did it on my birthday. So that's it. The recording on my birthday and stuff.
That's nice.
So that was kind of cool to kind of like have that.
It was you did it in New York?
At New York Comedy Club,
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I definitely have the home advantage of like everyone I know lives in New York.
But even if I did do it in Texas, it's like nobody really supports me out there. My family's opposite of your family. Your family's kind and warm and supportive. Mine's just like, what are you doing? Huh? Are you gay? Why are you in New York?
This is why you're a stronger comic than me.
It's all about that. more demons, I guess. But no, you're doing great and you're strong and what's funny about you is like I love knowing that like no matter what the situation is, you know, you're gonna go into the crowd and kinda like go in with a positive energy and an attitude. You know, you're always excited to be on stage.
Yeah, I try. If that's insane, and I think you know that. I'm not a fake. I try to be nice to everyone, but I'm not fake, you know? So you could tell I'm really excited to get on that stage.
Yeah,
you
it's
know?
Not an act.
Yeah.
Some people might be like, "Who's she? Why is she trying to pretend to be happy?" No, she is. She is. She really is. I know. Yeah. I thought that too, but she really is.
we spent way too much time in that tiny backspace for me to be fake this whole time.
Do you
know what I mean? But, I couldn't fake happiness. But you've given me so much stage time that I owe so much to you of how strong I've gotten over the last few years.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Really. I mean, the amount of time I've spent on that stage at Greenwich compared to any other room is hours different. You know, like, I mean,
great.
So I really credit how much stronger I've gotten the last few years to how much stage time you've given me. So thank you.
Oh, sure. Thank you for, you know, just... you know, taking the spots and, like, you know, it's like, you know, being a part of the club too. It's things really helped. It's like, because that's the thing, you're a comic not to worry about. Even if you have an audience that's weird or you don't like your set or whatever, I still know you're going to do the best you can do. You're not going to flip out and call somebody, you know, crazy. Right. You know, you're not gonna melt down on an audience and make it a situation.
Although now I want to just to see what you
that would be
just
funny.
See you
just
in the back. Like,
I would love to see you have a meltdown.
All right, Robin, it's time for a tune-up of therapy. Get back.
Very cool. Did you work the road a little bit in the beginning? Do you have like crazy road stories and stuff? Or did you open for anyone or anything?
Not really. I mean, like, I've done road stuff, but like one-offs here. Not like I've gone on the road with anyone. My craziest story was I got hired to do a private event on Long Island. So I do a lot of private events.
People
book me for temples, birthday parties, bachelorette parties. Okay. I do that more than like road clubs.
Okay.
And this one, I got hired to do a surprise party. It was the wife of an oil owner. It was her birthday. And it was a surprise party in their $15 million home on Long Island.
Okay.
The stepdaughter of this woman, I was the gift from her. Okay. So already everything's bad. Okay. So I show up at this $15 million home. Everyone is in there, the dining room. It looked like this huge hall. It looked like a banquet hall, eating, right? And so I come in. I have my little mic and mic stand. My brother's with me, right? All of a sudden, I throw my stuff, the mic and mic stuff, down on the table. Everyone goes, no! And I was like, what? It wasn't a table. It was a million-dollar piece of artwork. And then the lady whose birthday it was like, who are you? And then the stepdaughter's like, this is a comedian. She's your gift. And like, now everyone's inspecting the artwork, right? And then the stepdaughter was like, just do you want to start now? And I was like, now? Like, what? Like, this is crazy. So I was like, okay. So I take my little mic, I turn it on, I start. I get 2 minutes in, and the woman whose birthday it is steps right in front of me and goes, okay, everyone, enough of this chit-chat. Let's go into the living room. And all at once, like, the 80 people stand up and just, like, walk by, you know, like, fast. And that was, like, the most degrading night of my life. Like, now I could laugh about how ridiculous it was. But, like, and then waiting around to get paid.
Oh, my like, God.
Because if you thought I was leaving, I was not leaving without that paycheck, you know? So that's, I mean, that's my, like, craziest.
Yeah. It's funny how, like, that we continue to do this after, like, experiences like that.
Yeah. I mean, that.
I think they would break most people.
That was the most degrading thing has ever happened.
Comedy can be very degrading.
Yeah.
You know, you just have to kind of pick up the pieces and, like, okay, next set's going to be better. And
yeah.
It's really crazy. Because
then you think, okay, well, if I could live through that, how much worse can it get? Do you know what at least that's in my mind? Like, is okay, well, that was really bad, you know, and I lived.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the thing. It's like, it's, you know, you have to have a certain kind of, like, fire in you to even do this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think if you don't love it, you're not going to last in this business.
No, you really have to love it. You have to love everything about it. You know,
yes,
because it's like people ask what comedy is like, and there was a funny chart one time I saw somewhere. It had a thing what stand-up comedy is, and like 80% of it is travel. You know, if you don't like being in a car for 6 hours, you know, then stand-up's not for you.
Yeah.
If you don't like flying somewhere weird place, 100%. And staying in a shitty hotel, and you know, like if all those things drive you crazy, then you just can't do this.
Yeah.
This will not work for you.
Yeah, I would say travel is just as important as not being scared of public speaking.
Because,
do you know what I mean? Like the two, both. You need to be able to do both of these.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you did your album, and how did you go about, did you reach out to 800 Pound Gorilla?
Yeah, I decided like I wanted to put out an album.
Okay.
And so I reached out to them, and they had just, I didn't know this, but they had produced Kate Wolf's album.
Okay.
And I was opening for her.
Oh, great.
So I had said, hey, like, I'd like to see myself. And they said, oh, we actually saw you. I'd love to do your album.
Oh, great.
So it was like,
fantastic.
Yeah, and they have been a dream to work with.
That's
like,
so
they,
cool.
They have like, and like, they have a team of people. And like, so they introduced me to the lawyer, to this, to this. And I was
that's
like,
great.
It felt so, I just had to be funny, you know?
Yeah.
And I, like, usually when we produce stuff, that's just one part of a million things we have to do. So to have like someone backing you is,
was, you know, that was a really good thing for me as well. It's like, it's just, you feel legit.
Yes.
You feel like somebody's, you know, you feel, just
like
feels,
someone believes
you're like J-Lo, you know? You're like, people, she's doing this and they're doing
this. Let me tell you, this weekend I acted like I was J-Lo.
Did you?
Oh, totally.
Did you fire some people and like run around?
No, but I definitely had like I had people line up to take pictures with me, nice. You know, which they did. But I mean, I knew everyone. It was like my aunt. I was like, hey. But you know, but then also, you know, I had a lot of people again from the live streaming show up. So I did get security.
Oh, nice.
Just one guy, but you know, one comedy guy. Clubs. Yeah. You know, they have. Security. This was a theater. Yeah, no security. And I was I have all of these people from live streaming showing up, having one person there just in case someone gets drunk and rowdy. Yeah.
It's great.
So, but you know, I called him my bodyguard, even though he was like secure. You know, so like that way I thought I was J-Lo. But otherwise, I was on such a cloud nine.
It's
just
great.
Like being able to sell. Again, there's so many tiers, you know, of like things you don't get. So this was just like I was just celebrating of. You know,
it's really great. I can have the opposite experience.
Like, did you?
I was just nervous, and I felt like I just didn't like the audience that came out the first show. I was just like neurotic and like just kind of like, you know, just like, it's not as good as it can be. Did I go short? You know, like it was just like, you know, I just felt like I was too panicky about the whole thing. It turned out well, but I felt like, yeah, that's the thing about an album. It's like you don't know how it's going to turn out until it's laid out. And then you can have somebody go in and chop it up and make it sound nice.
Oh, my thing's I always feel like when you think you do have a great tape, then you look at it, it's shit, and like vice versa. So you just don't know.
And that's why you do two shows. So you can blend and things like that.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, look, I hope the album's amazing. I hope everyone loves it.
It will be.
But no matter what, no one could take away this weekend from me. Like, it's just so...
No, I'm sure it's going to be great. You always do well. I think it's going to be great. And so probably like 2 months, you said?
Yeah, a couple months. Sometime in the fall, probably it'll come out.
Oh, that's great.
What are we in? August?
Do you you already have like your album cover or do you know what you're doing? What did you do for that?
It's me and like a... sexy red dress with donuts and wine and like
donuts
food
and wine
and like cookies and all this stuff. That's literally a guilty pleasure. It's like me looking gorgeous but like with food and you
know.
But here's what's so funny, to do the what is it called, the logo, like the graphic, right? First I found, like, I asked Eric Newman who he used and the guy like did something for like $50. I was like, this looks like something I could do on my computer,
Sure.
So then I looked online and I was looking up the graphic designers and I found this guy and I loved his stuff. And he had 20 years of experience in graphic design of porn DVD covers.
Nice.
But I liked the graphics. So, so I sent him a message and I was like, hey, I was like, I'm doing a comedy album. How much would it be for you to do the, you know, words and graphic and everything? He's like, look, I have 20 years of experience in porn DVD. I'm trying to broaden my portfolio. I'll do it for free.
Oh, wow.
And then I was like, so, and he did it and it looks so good.
That's great.
And like, I know it's from a porn DVD guy, which is like a guilty pleasure, you know?
That's so perfect.
It all comes full circle.
And then you got a great story.
Yeah. And then, you know, when you look at it, now when you see it, you'll know,
like,
hey, that guy does a lot of porn DVD covers.
Does it got the like porn lettering and stuff?
It does. It's like sparkly. It totally does.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
That's what you want, you know?
Yeah.
You get a little flash out there.
Yeah. And so now he has, like, on his website, like, all these porn DVD covers and my album covers.
That's the way. Well, you have all the food on there. And that's a thing, too. People watch people eat and stuff. Like, that's so weird.
Well, when I – because remember, I lost a lot of weight. I lost 85 pounds. When I was fat, I would date guys that were into fat fetish.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I remember the first time I found this out, I was on a date. This guy grabbed my thigh and he goes, oh, I love your thighs. And I have a huge fat fetish.
Oh, no.
And my heart dropped because, like, he just called me fat. You know,
at that point,
I didn't know it was a compliment.
Sure.
It's still not a compliment, but, like, it, like, broke my heart.
If it's a white guy, it's not a compliment.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Then he's just calling you fat. You know? And so I remember being so upset, but part of the fetish, and I started talking about this on stage, is they like to watch you eat.
Yeah, that's so weird. It's like, I don't know. I hate watching people eat. Like,
me too. It actually grosses me out.
Yeah.
Because if their mouth is open and I have to see anything, I get so disgusted.
I'm always amazed. I had a porn star on here and stuff. I interviewed her and stuff. And, you know, I'm always just amazed by fetishes. Like, I don't understand certain things, like why that's a fetish. Some things make sense to me and some things do not make sense at all. Feet don't make sense. Watching someone eat doesn't make sense. Other things do, you know?
It's funny, I get feet.
Stepmom, that makes sense.
I get feet Okay, I don't get the eating. Feet, I can understand because, okay, why is someone attracted to a butt or boobs or whatever? It's a body part. So maybe that I could understand. Mm-hmm. It's a body part.
Do you like feet?
No, not at all, actually. But I can understand it more than eating.
Yeah, I guess. But I just...
Because I'm like, well, at least it's a body part. You know, eating really makes no...
Yeah, but those other body parts kind of serve more of a purpose, you know?
You know what else I don't get is, like... Oh, that's not true. I went out with
a
foot guy.
Could, yeah.
And you need really strong lower abdominals is all I'll say. We'll keep it clean. But
they wanted you to use your feet?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And it was a workout. He was crazy, though. Hilarious. He was crazy. Maybe there's a connection between crazy and feet.
I don't know.
But, that is,
sniffers are weird. Like people that sniff shoes and stuff.
Oh, I don't know those. Mm-hmm.
Shoe people? They're shoe people. Just the
shoe.
Oh,
there are
shoes.
Actually, my
flute.
Ex-boyfriend was a shoe person.
That's so strange.
He loved stilettos. Like, not on him. Like, on a girl.
Well, on a girl's fine, but these are guys that sniff them. They sniff the shoes.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, it's the sniffers.
There's fetishes of guys that like objects. Like, you ever hear about those guys that go around, like, having sex with picnic tables?
What?
I travel around with your face.
Talk about getting
right
wood.
Now.
Talk about getting wood.
But
splinters? Come on.
Yeah, this guy got arrested. He was, you know, the whole.
Were there people at the picnic table?
Yeah.
It's a family, like a little family having a birthday, birthday lunch,
like,
birthday
Uncle
party.
John, stop
he's
that!
Like, ah, he's like humping the table.
You know the hole in like a circular table where the umbrella would go.
Oh my gosh!
So
yes.
Some guy got arrested in like a park for like having sex with the picnic table, and then he was like, "No, but I love the picnic table."
Oh,
and then
no.
You found out he had like a fetish for picnic tables.
That is weird.
Yeah, and then I saw this thing with this guy who had a fetish for blow up pool toys.
Okay. Oh, no, blow-up dolls, I guess.
Yeah.
That's where that came from.
But these were blow-up toys, like a
pink flamingo kind of thing?
Yes, yes.
Really?
So, I mean, like, people got their things. And that's why I try not to judge, because I'm like,
oh,
you know.
I judge. That's some weird shit. You're fucking a floaty.
Remember you
in the
asked,
pool?
Like,
come
I feel
on,
like you
man.
Attract a lot of weird people to your fan base. It's probably because I'm like, oh, that's totally normal. You do you. But, yeah.
I mean, you know, we're lucky. We have people in our lives. And so I guess when you maybe you don't have, like, a person, you find other things that you can just stick your dick in.
I also think, like, exactly. And I also think, like, we chose. To date or be with people that don't have these fetishes, you know?
Yeah, it's so weird, though.
But people have them.
Yeah.
You know, there's a site for all of them.
How do you do after shows? Because I know it's different for, like, female comedians and stuff. Do you get hit on a lot after shows and
no.
stuff?
No. I get moms wanting to set me up with their sons. So much. I remember I opened up for Tom Cotta, right?
Perfect.
And I'm on stage, and then, you know, I think what I was doing, 30 minutes. I get off. Now he takes the stage, and the woman in the front leaves, like, follows me right off the stage and goes, oh, I just want to give you my son's phone number. Because, you know, on stage I sometimes say I'm single or
whatever.
No one cares if you're, like, happily in a relationship. You know, they want, like,
stories. Yeah, I take my ring off when
do
I would
you?
Go on stage. I feel like I do better with certain crowds.
Yeah, because I feel like, you know, me making these dating stories present and not so, oh, back in the day when I was single, you know.
Sure.
But so it's a lot of, like, moms wanting to set me up or, like, with their nephews.
Did you ever do it at all before?
Nope.
No.
I have not hooked up with one fan. Oh, wait, no, my boyfriend is a fan.
Oh, so you met him at a show?
Periscope.
Oh, Periscope.
Yeah, and then he came to a comedy show.
Okay, he came to New York?
No, I was performing in L.A.
Oh, okay.
And then he came to a show. And then, but I was still with my ex.
Oh, wow.
So he was just like a fan from across the country who was like really nice.
Look at you, bad girl.
Yeah. And then I came single and I was like, oh, yeah, there was this guy out in California that was cute. So, like, the only fan I ever dated, like, I'm probably with them marrying. So,
that's
like,
great. Well,
yeah.
That's a success story.
And I've never hooked up with a comic either, which is, I know, rare. In this field.
Yeah. That's probably a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, no, like, exes.
I've been able to pull it off, but a lot of people can't. And then you end up seeing that person all the time.
Right. You know? No, it's definitely, I think, a hard thing to pull off.
Yeah, I lucked out because I dated two comics. And then the first comic I dated, she ended up kind of just being a maniac. And I don't know, she's probably locked up in some psych ward or something. And then, you know, and the other one should be, but she's my girl. So.
And we love her. I've known Leah since I, like, when I think, like, my first show ever, like, when I was doing a bringer, she was the closer or the host or something. Yeah. So I met her from, like, day one, and we just, like.
Linda Smith shows, I think. She used to host a lot of those.
Yeah, and we just, like, clicked from.
Yeah, it was good. No, it's, you know, but we're, you know, you're one of those people that I root for, and I'm really happy that you have an album coming out. And
I root for you, too. And I'm appreciative. Like I said before, you've had my back since day one, you know?
That's
so
nice.
It's not lost on me.
I appreciate it, because a lot of people, I just be like, yeah, I hate everybody. So it's nice when people, you know.
Yeah. No, I hate a lot of people. I have lists of people that have been kind to me, because I really do remember everyone who was bitchy to me in the beginning.
Oh, yeah, me too.
You know, so I don't forget.
Sure.
But I also don't forget everyone who's good to you. You have to remember both, you know, because there are people that are good to you, and you have to remember that.
No, this is good. Thank you so much.
No, thank you for having me.
On. It was fun. It's always good. The running joke I have is just like, you know, in order to have like fun conversation with people that you like, you have to book them on a podcast, you know.
Right? Oh my God, it's so true.
Like, just God forbid we go for coffee, but you know, we have to do this to actually have a real conversation.
My closest friend, like, is Emma Wellman, right? And we're so close. We hadn't seen each other for like 4 months. She's like, hey, can you do my podcast? And I was like, finally, we could see each other.
We can actually talk.
Yeah, so it's actually really true.
That's great. And so where can we find all this online stuff
if you
that
go
you
do? Just go to Instagram at Robin Shaw Comic.
Okay, and what are we going to find on there?
Videos, live streams, characters.
Wow.
You'll find a little of me sitting, you know, in a toilet, whatever.
getting the fetishes again.
Me having sex with a picnic table.
Making love to Boston cream, whatever.
Well, that's not a joke. That they will say.
And how can we follow you other social media?
Everything's at Robin Shaw
at Robin
Comic.
Shaw? Okay,
yeah.
Very cool. Thank you so much for doing the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's always fun. And thank you, listeners. Please follow us. I'll leave you with this on Twitter and our Facebook page. And also, if you're interested in comedy coaching, you can go to my Outlaw Comedy Coaching Facebook page. And we will get you in this beautiful craft called stand-up comedy and see if it's for you. It's probably not, but it's very, very difficult business. And we really are needing more comics.
Greatest ad ever.
But I'll take your money anyway.
That was the most honest ad you will ever hear about stand-up comedy.
You know, as Dolly Parton says, it takes a lot of money to look this cheap. I got to buy these boots. All right, kids? Got to buy these hats. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. I'll leave you with this. Bye-bye.